The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. A dangerous time in my broadcast career because it's open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. But you can join in 770-5633-770-KMD. Always have fun with that. Because, you know, every now and then you get a raving lunatic. But, you know, raving lunatics, I love you too. All right? Interesting story that didn't get a lot of attention, but I think this is well worth it, especially given the challenges we're dealing here in Southern Oregon with our Postal Service, because they're, you know, starting this process of moving the distribution, and we'll get a chance to get mail here in Southwest Oregon. You mail something out, and it'll end up going to Portland, and then get sorted, and then get sent back several hundred miles. So you gather the mail in Klamath Falls, get it to Medford, and then you truck it from Medford up to Portland, and then the liberals there will be grabbing all that. What I don't know is if the mail-in ballots get separated out, or if they'll be shipped up to Multnomah County, sorted. Maybe the votes get screwed with or ballots go missing and then come back down. I mean, I know it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, all right? Now, that's not the reason why the Postal Service is having to do this. They're just out of money, and they've just been losing money hand over fist. And could there be a reason for this, too? Because I'm looking at this article. David Williams is writing in issuesinsights.com. Issuesinsights.com. Issues and Insights is what it is. U.S. Postal Service stonewalls FOIA requests. This is Freedom of Information Act stuff. Postal Service, he admits, is in dire fiscal straits, having lost more than $100 billion over the last 15 years. That could be hard to guess given the agency's exorbitant spending habits. America's mail carrier, David writes, is spending nearly $10 billion to purchase 100,000 delivery vehicles, more than half of them which are electric. And periodic fleet upgrades can be sensible policy. Committing to a majority electric fleet is a needlessly expensive choice for taxpayers and consumers, he writes. I mean, for the same reason why it would be hard for this Postal Service to buy an EV and use it for everything, might be the reason why we would have, you know, problems with it, too. It's expensive, and it doesn't work real well in cold weather. There's the charging aspect of it. That's all. But David writes here, rather than level with the American people and explain its extravagant spending on electric vehicles, the Postal Service has gone full CIA mode and insists on redacting basic information about its purchases, even after a Freedom of Information Act request from the Taxpayers Protection Alliance Foundation. The agency should embrace transparency and find a more sensible way to spend Americans' hard-earned dollars. In the early fleet planning discussions, Postal Service had said seemed reasonably reluctant to pursue electrification because the gas ones changed. You know, they worked, right? But then Postmaster General Louis DeJoy realized he could use electric vehicles as a bargaining chip for more federal money. So in a federal February 2022 news release directed at Congress, the Post Office says that the plans include an initial order for 5,000 electric vehicles and the flexibility to increase the number of electric vehicles. So the lawmakers listen. They've slithered billions of dollars out of the federal cloaca into the gut of the U.S. Postal Service. And now the Postal Service has all this money. They're going to be doing these electric vehicle things. But yet they're shutting down the Medford mail sorting facility. And we're going to ship everything up to Portland. But we'll have an EV. But we'll have an EV mail delivery fleet, I guess. And you know what might take a few days now? It might take a week to get first-class mail across town. Used to be you just, you know, dropped it in the mailbox and it went across town in what, a day or two? No longer. And they don't want to talk about it. What do you think about that? Let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. Wild Sam and Steve, you wanted to bite on the Ashland 5G deal. The city council ended up having to kind of vote to go along to get along with the feds. What are you thinking?
Well, this started a couple of years ago. I had a major carrier and we went camping up at Stewart State Park, and we had no service. Well, I have a monitor on my wife that I need cell service to keep running, to keep her blood sugar under control so I can go do stuff. And it quit working. Well, so I came down here and talked to the people, and they said, well, we shut off those towers because we're using the money that we were using to lease the towers to do some other thing anyway.
So they shut down the cell service by the park in the rural area where you think it would be nice to have a cell service. Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Because they're trying to do 5G in town.
Oh, okay. Because we need the surveillance network in town.
Yes.
So we shut down the...
Yes.
Boy, maybe this is another part of that, you're not going to live out in the rural lands. We're gonna shove you into your 15-minute prison city.
Well, pretty much. Anyway, so the next year, I switched to Verizon because they had service there. Next year, the same thing happened. I went to Verizon and complained to them, and they told me the same thing. And another thing they told me was they're taking the money that they're saving from renting those towers, and they're putting it into a partnership with Spectrum, whereby they pay part of the cost of putting a powerful Wi-Fi modem in the Spectrum people's houses, so that cell phone users going by can ping off of that Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. So that's right. That's right. I've heard about that. I didn't know for sure, but I had read something about this, that in essence, 5G gets deployed through the modem that you have in your house, right?
Yes. And so the bandwidth available for Spectrum is going to vary based on the cell usage that's going on.
Uh-huh.
Plus, you're paying the power bill to run that thing in your house. But they give you a free phone for a year to do that. And
is that how they get is that how they get away with that? I was wondering how they do that. So there, I did not know that. Now, see, that's a very interesting statement. I'm almost going to have to look up more and confirm this. The whole idea is that you are, in essence, building out the Spectrum 5G network when you have their wireless. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's actually Verizon. It's Verizon.
Verizon.
Using Spectrum wireless.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting backdoor thing. You don't have to get any thing put up on a telephone pole or anything else. But that also does mean that you're probably increasing your own radiation footprint there in your home.
Well, that's true. And see, the thing with 5G is it does not go through foliage. We tried to put up an amateur radio network, computer network, and it works if you can see the computers that you're trying to connect to. But if there's trees in the way, you can't. So it's very difficult for Verizon or for anybody to put up a 5G network in an urban environment where there's a lot of trees.
Hmm. Well, that's okay. All you have to do is just let the if trees are the problem, remember, the whole idea is that gangrene wants to burn every tree here in order to restore the forest, okay?
And they want to know where you are. Anyway, I just thought that was a very interesting deal. Let me plug the ham radio swap meet that's going to happen Saturday, the 23rd. It's going to be at 1024 Summit Avenue, just off of McAndrews, in the Star Auto Body. They got a building back there. They call the Summit Street Center. And thank you for Star Auto Body for letting us use that facility. We use that for our classes, and we're going to have a new ham radio training class starting up next month.
All right, very good. Well, I'll catch you on Saturday. I'll be there. And I'll
okay. Bring your gear.
I'll bring my junk boxes and are saying, who wants this? Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll see you. Thank you, Wild Sam and Steve. 8:20, 770-5633. Hey, earlier this morning, I had brought up this story, and do you think that a youth ministry or a religious organization should be able to hire people of their religion? If you're a religious ministry, and the one I'm talking about is Youth 715 Ministry. And KOBI was reporting last night that this organization has filed a lawsuit with the Oregon Department of Education because the state stripped away $400,000 in grant stream funding. The $400,000 in grant money is gone because there are new rules coming from the Oregon Department of Education which prohibits faith-based organizations from receiving grants. Youth 715 Ministry said they've been receiving grants from Oregon Youth Community Investment for many, many years. And 715 Ministry has been around here for a long, long time here. But the thing is that Oregon Department of Education, more or less, is talking about, hey, you know, you You have to go out there. If you're a Christian ministry, we in the state, and I'm just having fun with this when I say this, we in the state, we hate you people who believe in the Sky Bunny. And this is the way we're going to take you down. We're going to take you down here because we'll make you hire the Satanist, I guess, if you want to get the Grand Stream funding. Now, who knows? What, you don't have a drag queen story hour time in there in 715 Ministries? Yeah, I'm just having fun and engaging in a little bit of hyperbole, but I can't really put this past the state. The state says, hey, yeah, we can't have anybody, you know, we can't have a Christian organization there with state grant and then trying to err on the side by hiring Christians to fulfill the mission here. So do you think 715 should prevail in this kind of a lawsuit? They're engaging in some lawfare. I'll take your calls on that and more, but I think this is quite interesting because the Oregon Department of Education is completely at war, in my opinion, with anyone who is of faith. And they're trying to do everything possible there to push the transgender deal and to cut genitals off of children under gender-affirming care. But this is all about education. Oh, by the way, do you want some gay porno books for the school library in order to teach people how to, you know, do these kind of things? We got that for you, too. I mean, it's pretty interesting time. Who do you think should win that one? Or do you think that the separation of church and state means that Christians shouldn't be preferred in a Christian ministry, even if it's getting state money? 770-5633, you're welcome to join and give me a take on that or anything else.
Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. Pastries and espresso bar beverages for all seasons and for all reasons. Amazing March features include delicious taste sensations like their Irish soda bread, chocolate Guinness cupcakes with Irish cream frosting, paired with a delicious Irish cream brevet or a peppermint patty mocha. So many treats just waiting for you. Perfect for that office party, gathering, or special event. Get to know the family at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer or visit artisanbakerymedford.com.
American Rancher Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Rancher Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's. 499-6673. 499-6673. American Rancher Garage. We stand behind every job we do with service you can trust.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
One of each. Forte VIN 731586 MSRP 21710 3500 due. Sportage VIN 185367 MSRP 3590 4499 due. 10K miles per year. Zero security deposit. All incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic. Just $149 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX. Only $199 a month lease. Both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia like Fortes, $149 a month. Sportages, $199 a month. During the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Have you been putting off filing prior year's tax returns and worrying about the consequences? You need Pat Hurley on your team. He's a tax pro who fights for your rights in dollars. 774-1040. What an easy number. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
More emails of the day, and that is sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. Dr. Steve Nelson, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. I have many crowns, which have come from that. In fact, they have an in-house crown lab. Amazing machine I was watching. It was really cool. While you wait, you can get a crown. Just come in there and say, hey, Dr. Steve, crown me, okay? It's really, I'm just having fun. But it's right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point, and centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Jim, writes me this morning. Jim Katzel writes about the animal conversation I was having with Jim and Bill a little while ago. I was listening to that conversation about the funding for the shelter bill. We are feeding 8 outside cats right now. And talking to a lot of people in our neighborhood, what has happened is the price of food and care has gone through the roof. People aren't able to take care of their pets. They can't afford it. The pandemic played a part in it, but the cost of everything and inflation is driving many pet owners just to turn their pets loose. So that might be what's going on, HM. Does that mean, though, that it's good money to all of a sudden quadruple the amount of tax money that every property owner in Josephine County would pay in order to help this, which could be a temporary situation? Maybe what should be happening is perhaps some big, instead of spaying, maybe just neutering clinics. Go after the male cats because, they, you know, the female cats, that's a much more expensive procedure. I'm just spitballing with you there, but maybe that would be a better thing rather than spending, you know, $24 million on animal care in Joe County, which is not a very wealthy county, you know, because lots of area and little tax base, you know, that kind of thing. Jim Bob. By the way, I met Jim Bob face-to-face yesterday. Jim Bob is over in Food for Less. He's out there filling up the freezer, getting things ready. It was great seeing you there, Jim. And Jim Bob was talking about the Chad Caton interview. And he says, good morning, Your Majesty, Comrade Bill. Great interview with Chad Caton with Veterans for Trump this morning. I know Chad, and I can tell you that Chad is the real deal when it comes to local politics. He's been instrumental in the Twitter X-verse in getting patriots all over the country to run for office, from precinct captains, county commissioners, to Senate offices. I have spoken with Chad many times in depth on strategy for the RNC and have seen the fruit of these labors. Hope you have him back on at some point. Cheers, comrade. Will do, Jim Bob. And by the way, he says in Biden's economy, I couldn't bring myself to spend $5 on a quart of ice cream at Less Food for More yesterday. Oh, was that the nickname? Less Food for More. $5 on a quart? I don't know. I think last time I bought some ice cream there, Jim Bob, it was $3.49 for the, well, nobody sells a half gallon now, right? We've had the Biden shrinkflation, and now it's less. That thing which is a little less than a half gallon, what used to be a half gallon, but yeah, they're probably going to be doing that pretty soon. They'll start selling gasoline for less than a gallon, right? We'll call it the Joe Biden gallon, which will be 3/4 of a gallon, so it'll look better, the gas price. I wouldn't put it past anybody. It's such a crazy time. 8:30, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You know, a lot of people talked about near-death experiences, and scientists are saying it's all in your head. Is it true? Well, we're talking about some scientific evidence for that coming up as we wrap up Conspiracy Theory Thursday. News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Grants Pass City Council passed a resolution by a vote of 5-3 last night to override the mayor's veto on an ordinance. This law forces anyone planning to give out food, clothing, or other services at public parks to register with the city, which would also include a fee. When Mayor Sarah Bristol vetoed the ordinance, she said it could open the door to a lawsuit against the city and that it's just making it harder for humanitarians to work. Some citizens agreed with that idea during public comment, saying the people receiving aid in the parks need all they can get, and others wouldn't last a day in their shoes. Councillor Brian De LaGrange couldn't have agreed more. Councillor Valeria Lovelace says she was disappointed in the veto from the mayor because this ordinance was supposed to work for everyone. After the vote, councilors discussed the possibility of making revisions to the ordinance in an attempt to make both sides of the issue more content. Then BLM and the Nature Conservancy are hosting free guided hikes of Upper and Lower Table Rock starting April 6. Kyle Sullivan, public affairs specialist for the Medford District of BLM, says this is the 38th year they've collaborated with the Nature Conservancy to present a spring hike series to the public. Sullivan says these hikes fill up pretty quickly. You can head to our website to make a reservation. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great Thursday.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding, destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I gotta keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
I bought a copy of a book the other day called Minding the Brain, Models of the Mind, Information, and Empirical Science. And it was because I received a newsletter alert from the Discovery Institute, and they were talking about a chapter in this book about near-death experiences that Dr. Gary Habermas, PhD, ended up writing in there. And Dr. Habermas is a distinguished research professor of apologetics and philosophy at Liberty University School of Divinity. And, Doctor, it is a pleasure having you on. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be on with you. This is a great topic.
Yeah, it is. And now you tend to approach the near-death experience and the science involved here. You're taking this from a position of faith. That would be fair, working at Liberty University, correct?
Actually, I would only be buying the NDEs if they were evidential. I've published, I don't know, two or three major essays now. You referred to one of them on NDEs, but I am almost exclusively interested in evidential NDEs. Some of them are the most incredible stories that anybody could imagine. I mean, one is from a guy who sees something that's verified 1,250 miles away from where he was with a flat brain, flat heart, cardiac arrest in the hospital during surgery.
Wow.
But, I mean, my point is 1,250 miles. So I'm into the evidence thing. No, I would listen to all the stories like anybody else and would think they were neat, but I wouldn't put much stock in them if all I had to go on was faith.
Yeah, okay, so you're looking for the actual scientific evidence, the evidentiary, that's the difference. Because, briefly, I did not have an evidentiary, near-death experience, but it was before my birthday in 1997, and I almost drowned in the Applegate River here in Southern Oregon. I was being choked out. It was a long story, but the funny thing for me, though, it wasn't like I rose out of the body like some of these evidentiary people talked about. For me, it was a struggle to stay alive, and it was surprising how easy it was to die, how peaceful it was when you're in the process of drowning. I found that, you know, quite interesting. And I was able to save myself at the last minute. But when it comes to a matter of faith, I ended up going, it wasn't like I went and saw Jesus or anything like that. But it was like the I was given a life review. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody saying something like that, like high points and inflection points of your life. It was like a VCR running on high speed, fast forward right. kind of thing.
No, that's fairly common.
It
I
is.
Would say maybe one in five near-death experiences are accompanied by something of that nature. And it is called a life review, yes.
Yeah, and then it was and I was very clearly being told, you have a choice. You can stay or go. And either way, there is no blame for this. We understand. And I'm thinking this must have been one of those, like an inflection point in my life that that maybe I could go, you know, if I wanted to. And it was very life-changing after, you know, afterwards to come back and have that, because there was like the choice to stay. And then I fought and survived it. And it was very, it was life-changing, really, because it was changing in the respect that I was going to do something more positive with life. But that's not the type of NDE you were looking at. The stuff that you're looking at, though, which is also astounding, though, because it's scientific proof, boy, dead bang, like people die on the operating table. And they float up stories and they're able to just bring up information that is just irrefutable evidence that they couldn't have seen any other way. Could you talk about that a little bit, please?
Sure. And I don't, when I'm looking for evidence, you distinguish yours from the kind where they're looking down. To me, it doesn't make a difference whether someone had one like yours or where they're looking down. I don't think the difference is there. I think the difference is, let's just make something up on yours. Let's say you didn't look down on your body, but you had the life review, and then you looked over on the shore and you saw something really strange happening that shouldn't have been happening on the side of a lake. I don't mean something bad, but just something different. Like somebody drove their car right down to the water and they shouldn't be doing that. And you notice this. Either kind of experience, the kind that you had or the kind where they're looking down, can be accompanied by very good evidence. And there are over 300 cases, and that's what I tried to unpack in that article, that there's well over 300 evidential NDEs, and some of them, like the one I gave of 1,250 miles, the guy not only saw something 1,250 miles away in his home, but he gave two specific, very, very specific descriptions, even drawing a picture of what was going on inside his home. That was in Florida, and he was in Milwaukee. And it turned out to be true, because he had a house sitter, and the guy backed up what was going on in the house, even though it was really embarrassing for the guy who was backing up the story. So there's that kind. It can come in any kind of situation as long as there's verifiable data. And I would say, I look for situations, there's dozens of them now, over 50, where there are people that are basically flat brain, flat heart. And by that I mean, if a person, you can obviously do it with an EKG and an EEG, but if a person has a cardiac arrest with ventricular fibrillation, if it's that species of cardiac arrest, you are measurably, if someone were to measure you, you would be measurably brain dead in 15 to 30 seconds. Some say as low as 10. Your brain stops that quickly when the heart stops, when there's no blood coming to the brain. And it's in that state. If you're past the 10 to 30 second mark and you see that car coming down to the water and saying, what in the world is he doing there? And it's at the 2 minute mark after your experience, you would be doing it without any neurology.
Yeah, your body is not doing this. Your body is not looking and sensing this. This is something else. And I guess this then goes to the concept or the question of what is truly our human consciousness, doesn't it?
That's a great question. That's what that book's all about. In fact, just today, I got an email from a group, I don't know who they are, a scientific group, doing data on where does consciousness come from, and it doesn't seem to come from the brain, because they, according to them, because they had just done some experiments on people with partial brains or no brains at all, born without a brain or key part of the learning part had to be removed because of a disease, and they still saw just as much and verified just as much without portions or the entire brain. So it does look like something else is going on, and that points to
I think most people would say that we are more than our brain. We are more than bodies with brains and hearts in them.
This is interesting, especially in a troubling time, in my view, in which the elites of the world are pushing a transhumanism in order, well, I'm just going to upload my mind into the grand machine, and I'm going to be able to live forever, as if for some reason what's in your brain is the sum of your life and who you are as a person. Don't you find that interesting?
You know what? And this is crazy. Because I write a lot on this, I get these emails all the time, and I just got one last week about Ted Williams' brain and people who pay, I forgot the figure, but it was a whole lot of money to put their bodies and or just their head alone on ice, so to speak, mm-hmm. and try to bring them back later. And you raise a very, very interesting question. Even if they were to be able to do something years later, and who knows what they can do, but even if they were, is that the part that's going to give you the consciousness? Or would you have a brain that's thought out and supposedly it's doing something, but it has no memories?
And,
is that possible? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but you're right. People are certainly experimenting on it.
Yeah, I would posit, though, that really all the brain is the biological communication device, almost the interface between the divine, the soul, and our existence. Would you lean to that direction?
No. I would. The example I use when people say to me, I've got my best friend in college was a medical school professor, and he was a specialist in closed brain injuries. And he had a time where he got very non-religious when he was going to school, and that wasn't what he was like in college, but he moved away from it. He said, here's why I explain it. How do you treat people with brain injuries, and all of a sudden they can't remember anything? And I said, look, this would be like, to me, my illustration would be like a hunter who's out in the woods, and instead of being in a some apparatus above the ground getting ready to hunt deer or moose or whatever, he's in a shack. But here's the problem. All the windows are closed at the inside, and he cannot see out. And he's just as conscious as he was outside the cabin, but he can't see out a single window. So to anybody on the outside, this guy's not given to any sign that he's alive, but that's because he can't see out of it. And if the brain's not working for some reason, it's like that to me, it's like the cabin with the window shut. If the brain is stopped from seeing things, you're not going to be reporting things. That doesn't mean that you don't have a part of you, like the part that was seeing your life review. That doesn't mean that there's not something outside your brain that is still picking up data and having consciousness. And when these 300 cases, what do you do with the guy who has this really complicated these two reports from 1,250 miles away, and he was brain dead at the time. He was demonstrably brain dead because he was on the operating table and had a huge cardiac arrest. So after 30 seconds, he couldn't see anything. But this thing went on for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So that does argue that something's going on besides that. I think you're right. Let's say maybe the brain is a transmitter of what's going on elsewhere.
Which also gives me pause, the way people will tend to think, it doesn't really matter what we should do with this brain-damaged person because they can't understand anything of what's going on. And I'm not so convinced, the more I read about this, that the conscious part, which is not able to communicate through a damaged brain or some problems, might not be totally aware of what is going on. I think back to the Terry Schiavo case. Recall that a number of years ago?
Yes,
how
sure
controversial
do.
That was?
I sure remember that. And I think you're right. In fact, forget NDEs, forget afterlife, forget religion. Just people who are in comas and come out quite frequently describe what was going on in the room and what was being said behind them. And there's a place, when I give lectures on this, there's even things like NDE humor. There are cases where people are lying dead on the table. They're dead. The medical doctors have quit working on them for 45 minutes. The scrub nurse comes. This is an actual case. The scrub nurse comes in the room and is cleaning up. And she's in there by herself. And all of a sudden, the patient who is dead, I mean, he was already on his way to the hospital morgue, was up above his body and saw this doctor come in and shut the door and do some things with the nurse in the room that doctors and nurses shouldn't be doing on duty.
Ah, okay.
Now, that person was not just in a coma. That person was dead on the way to the to the hospital morgue. But they reported the story.
Oh, my goodness. I'm kind of curious.
They reported the two characters, too.
All right. When did the doctor, when did the patient revive then? And did it revive while they were in the middle of the deed, per se, or what?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is that part is not, that's not told in the story. However, there is one where a person was declared dead, brain dead. They worked on him for a while, and they were wheeling the body down to the morgue with the sheet over the head.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different case. And all of a sudden, the person sits up on the gurney, and the two guys pushing the gurney, you know, they thought they were in the Twilight Zone or something. They wondered, why is this dead guy going to the morgue, sitting up and talking to people?
Oh, that's what a wild story, Dr. Habermas. Dr. Gary Habermas, PhD, he's Distinguished Research Professor of Apologetics and Philosophy at Liberty University. And the book that he contributed to is Minding the Brain, Models of the Mind, Information, and Empirical Science. And, of course, you're going down the empirical science side of things. But is there more and more, is science open to the actual existence of a soul, even if it probably can't distill it into a test tube form here, Doctor? What do you think?
Well, that's a fantastic question, but a couple things tells you that that's what's going on. People who are naturalists or materialists who believe that the material world or the natural world is all there is, and we just cannot talk about God or afterlife, those two, which are often part of a definition of theism, those who say we can't do that, that's the major view in the world. However, there are at least two indications that I know of that view is starting to change radically because of the weight of evidence like what we've been discussing. And one is, I just did some research last night on moves away from naturalism and materialism to, it's a technical view, but it is a view of a kind of a Neoplatonism. It's a religious view that does not have a supernatural world, but it's kind of Plato without God.
Hmm.
It's kind of Plato without God in an afterlife, and scientists are migrating over there to that view, away from what they call sterile naturalism or materialism or atheism. And here's another one. In a recent poll, here's the other one that shows you there's a change. In a recent poll, only of atheists and agnostics. Now, you could stop and ask yourself the question, how many of them in this poll are going to believe in an afterlife?
Well, probably not too many, I would think.
That's exactly what I would think. The number was 32% of them believed in heaven or some kind of afterlife. But
huh.
Distinctly religious view that they're atheists and agnostics, but they're going to live after the death of their body.
That's very interesting. That's a bit of a change from what I would have thought of as conventional wisdom in such matters, Doctor.
Wow. It is, and that was just reported in a book by Michael Shermer out there in California. Michael's a friend of mine. He's a nice guy, but he's a convinced atheist. He's got a PhD in science. He's a sharp guy. But in his book on why people want to live forever, a new book that just came out on the heavens, I think it's called, he gives that research. Others have done it, too, because they reviewed the material that had it in there. So he's not the only one that has it. But in other words, it was an atheist scientist who reported on the 32% of people, atheists and agnostics only, who believe in an afterlife.
Do you believe that with science actually looking into the human consciousness and looking outside of the body, the consciousness outside of the body, which there's more and more evidence that science is willing to look at here, might this put a dent or crimp in this desire to just merge us with machines, you know, the Elon Musking of the entire world? Because you almost see how the technocrats would just as soon like to upload their consciousness, what they think is their consciousness, into the electronic brain and lord it over, and then biological humans just don't deserve to live anymore, Doctor.
You know, that's a great question. Now, the previous two you've asked, it's just odd that I've just gotten emails on it in the last 3 days on it. But this one, I haven't thought about. Maybe it would slow people down and say, well, heck, if I'm going to get merged with AI when the guy on the table in a coma, he thinks they're ready to take him to the morgue, and he's conscious. Now, I'm not saying that always happens, but if there's even a possibility of that, I'm not going to be one with the machine. That's ridiculous. I could see that happening.
Okay, very good. I really appreciate the talk. I know we only had just a few minutes this time because you're a night owl. I am. Yeah, you said that you were actually working on Deadline for another manuscript. What are you working right now? Anything we'll be seeing pretty soon out of Liberty University? Or maybe it's GaryHabermas.com or some other portal?
Well, it's from a publisher named Broadman and Holman Academic in Nashville, Tennessee. And you got to be ready for this. It's a four-volume work on the resurrection of Jesus, which I've done all my research on. But each volume is in the neighborhood of 1,000 pages. So it's written, the written manuscript is 6,000 pages long, just on the resurrection. And it's evidence for the resurrection of Jesus and evidence against people who try to say, no, that's a bunch of baloney. So I'm in the last of the four volumes.
Okay,
that's
so now, right now. 6,000-page manuscript, so that's some light reading then for us,
it
right?
It is. The first volume is out right now, and it's on evidence for the resurrection. It is just short of 1,100 pages.
All right. Good stuff. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing.
Well, I've enjoyed it, too. Thank you so much, and thanks for telling your story.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I have a chance to get you back on after you're off Deadline, okay?
Would be glad to do that. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Gary Habermas, Ph.D., Distinguished Research Professor of Apologetics and Philosophy at Liberty University School of Divinity, GaryHabermas.com. It's 8:53 at KMED and KCMD.
2x4, 2x8, who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, the carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn, but only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway, Hughes Lumber.
To celebrate everyone who's customized and saved hundreds on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, we got a savings siren that goes off every time someone saves. There it is! It's a really... more savings. Which really... okay, a lot of savings. Little annoying now. Will you stop saving for 5 seconds?
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Savings may vary, underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Affiliates excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
When the wind blows and storms roll through, do you get worried? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. If you answered yes, you may have a dangerous tree that could come down and cause property damage or worse. Call us and we'll inspect your trees and provide a no-obligation quote. If removal is necessary, we specialize in low impact. At Quality Tree Service, we love trees, but they shouldn't be keeping you up at night. We also offer senior and military discounts. Visit us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware, their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
Speaking of Diner 62, we will have another Diner 62 quiz tomorrow as we wrap up the week. By the way, I'm going to take Monday and Tuesday off next week. Just do a little decompressing, get my arguments into the voters pamphlet, get that done in the next couple of days. And I'll be back on Wheels Up Wednesday, and Hugh Hewitt will fill in for me Monday and Tuesday for next week, okay? By the way, apologies that I couldn't take calls during Dr. Gary Habermas's interview. I only had like 15 minutes with him, 15, 20 minutes. And I was not really going to be able to do justice if I was going to take calls in between that, okay? And so maybe the next time that I have him come on, we'll have more of a conversation. Maybe I can get him on a little earlier so people can maybe share some of their stories on the near-death experience and the evidence of the actual scientific evidence in support of that. Bob writes me this morning, says, Bill, I wouldn't call this near death necessarily, but when I was 4 years old, I had my tonsils removed. I have a vivid memory to this day of hovering above the operating table, watching the procedure. To me, it was evidence that the soul can be consciously separated from the body. I didn't have a sense of death, but just being out of my body. Bob, I appreciate you sharing that. I have a feeling there are many people that could probably concur with what you were saying about that. All right. 770-5633. I got a couple minutes left. Let me see if I can grab a couple calls before we break and get ready for Find Your Phone Friday. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill. It's Lucretia.
Hi, Lucretia. What's up?
Well, just regarding the man you just had on, Catherine Austin Fitz was saying there's a new book out by a doctor that Robert Temple. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of him?
No, I haven't. But anyway, please continue. I only have a minute or two here, okay?
Okay. Well, basically 99% of the world is plasma, and it's conscious. And so it's really interesting because Joseph Farrell wrote a real book that all through the ages they've known we live many lives.
Well, I wouldn't even be surprised if this, what we think of as the Earth in our plasma, is and maybe it's kind of our divine holodeck. You know, kind of like a holodeck of sorts, but very interesting. I'm going to want to look that up, okay? I appreciate you sharing your thought.
I sent you a link.
What's that? All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Lucretia. And I'm not even going to play your theme this morning because I just ran out of time. I have 1 minute. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Am I there?
Yep, you sure are, Brad. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man. I really want to comment on your – you don't realize how much – power you have that's cathartic, like this guy you just had on the radio. I've listened to two different roofing commercials, and I had an out-of-body experience.
What, is that falling off the roof?
No. I was driving, man, and I could see myself driving, and it was an amazing experience.
Okay, safety harness, my friend. All right, brother from another Slovenian mother. Great hearing from you. Thank you, Brad. Yeah, we want to stay. If you're going to be up on the roof, make sure and do it. I don't know how those roofers do it. I really don't. I see the people that do that for a living. I am in awe. I really am in awe of what you're able to do. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. We will talk again tomorrow. And thank you so much for listening.
Levon here from Orley Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orley Stoves and Spas. Orley's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orleans has everything you need. We are fully stocked on splash around above ground pools and accessories. Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas.